The 2016 race for the White House has brought out a myriad of viewpoints. We've heard from most of them, Clinton Democrats, Trump Republicans, the undecided, libertarians, and others. But there's one group of Americans who can't vote, those who are in prison. Current State's Brooke Allen spoke with Rihanna Douglas, a former inmate from Oakland County, and with Daryl Woods Sr., an inmate serving time at the Detroit Reentry Center, about their thoughts on the upcoming presidential election.
According to the Sentencing Project, an estimated 6.1 million Americans are forbidden to vote because of felony disenfranchisement or laws restricting voting rights for those convicted of felony-level crimes. In Michigan alone, there are nearly 60,000 people incarcerated. Of that, 44,000 are disenfranchised, and over half of the disenfranchised are African American. Daryl Woods is one of those disenfranchised Americans. After a string of emails with the Michigan Department of Corrections and some technical difficulties, we were able to speak via phone.
This call is from a correction facility and is subject to monitoring and recording.
Hello, Daryl.
Yes, ma'am.
I asked him if he and his fellow inmates were following the race to the White House, and he told me they are watching one thing very closely.
One of the biggest concerns is how the Supreme Court is going to be decided, whether it's going to be based upon the laws or it's going to be based upon the way that Mr. Trump is articulating his vision for America in terms of being aggressively discriminating against people, you know, based upon their religion and their background and things of that nature. So many of the guys are concerned about that, you know, because it's you know, it always has been a challenge in the courts.
While he has never officially cast a ballot, Daryl says for the past 26 years he's been in prison, he's been fully engaged in politics, even acting as chairman of the NAACP. And most of the men are politically savvy and worry about many issues as well.
You know, we're deeply concerned about the economy. We're deeply concerned about the wars and all the things that goes on in society, all the fears that some of the people in society have, people incarcerated have those type of fears as well.
I ask him how it feels to not be able to vote in light of his fears and concerns.
Well, it's very frustrating not to be able to exercise your right to vote because we feel that we are paying some form of taxes in terms of when we go to the commissary and when we, you know, use this telephone, this money is being put into the economy, and I think that is empowering, and I think it would help give those who are incarcerated a sense of purpose if they did have the right to vote, you know, because they have been so disenfranchised and disengaged in American society in terms of the way many of the guys' upbringing in terms of who are incarcerated never really thought about it until they was able to educate themselves on about the importance of voting. A lot of people shed their blood to give Americans a right to vote, and we are Americans as well as anyone else.
I asked Daryl the one looming question that is probably on a few minds. What do you say to people who say the minute you commit a crime, you forfeit your right to vote?
I'm incarcerated and I'm doing time for the crime that I was incarcerated for, you know, and I don't think that should be forfeited. I think that keeping me franchised, keep me a part of the fabric of society, and it also give me a sense of purpose, you know, and many times people who got it, who came to prison, many of them probably have never voted in their life. And if you gave them that opportunity, let them know that they do have a voice and they can be a part of society through voting, that might be a transformational for some of them. You know, I know when I learned about the Voting Rights Act, and I know we're on the 50-year anniversary of it, and even the Civil Rights Act, we're on the 50-year anniversary of that as well. When I learned about those things, it was empowering. And I understood what was sacrificed for me to be able to have the right to vote. I think that we should be engaged in that process and I think it's more rehabilitative than anything, you know. And so I don't think that we should be dealing with retribution to that extent. And we're talking about transformation, and we're talking about reform and rehabilitation, and I think that should be a part of the rehabilitation process.
Daryl is doing life in prison and will likely never be able to cast a ballot in any election. But at his facility and at others throughout the state of Michigan, once you are released from prison, voting rights are restored.
At the facility many of the guys who are leaving here, they automatically get their right to vote. And we have hundreds of people who parole out of this facility on a monthly basis. And so those guys are provided classes and resources and to be able to help them in a transition is something that's remarkable now. They understand the importance of this election. This is probably one of the most important elections in American history, you know, because there's a lot on the line right now.
And one person who knows this is Rihanna. Rihanna is a woman. She majored in political science and is surrounded by friends and family. But she does have one thing in common with Daryl. She also knows what life is like behind bars. She did exactly 900 days for a nonviolent crime. Next week, she will be voting in her second presidential election. I ask her what came first for her, the candidates or the issues.
Before that, you can make any decision on who you want to vote for. You want to definitely delve into the platforms of each candidate and how they feel on different topics.
Rihanna says Hillary Clinton seems to have a bigger lens when it comes to looking at reforming the criminal justice system.
At the forefront of Hillary's platform is certainly criminal justice reform. And a couple of ways that she's interested in going about that is by ending the era of mass incarceration, which definitely caught my attention. And then, again, defending voting rights, amongst others, like gun violence, immigration reform, environmental reform, et cetera. But those two things really jumped out at me. So when I take a look at her platform, how she wishes to implement the abolition of the era of mass incarceration is basically by overhauling the mandatory minimum policy, ending sentencing disparities, for example, prioritizing treatment and rehabilitation for those who are incarcerated, and promoting successful reentry by formerly incarcerated people. And those are all topics that I feel, having went through the system, are very important. These are things that people talk about on both sides, on the inside. So even employees and correctional officers, they understand the importance of these programs, and also the inmates themselves.
Rihanna says Donald Trump has been less clear about his plan for the criminal justice system.
He portrays himself as a law and order, tough on crime candidate, but he's not released many specifics on how he would handle mass incarceration specifically. We do know that he supports prison privatization, and he's been quoted as stating that he's against the restoration of voting rights for felons. So regardless of the other things that surround each candidate, we'll say extraneous situations that have been coming up in the media lately, to me, I just find it unlikely to vote for somebody who doesn't believe that I should have the right to vote. Because if I can't vote, how can I even have an impact on my society or how I want to help the community or have any impact as a member of the community?
Rihanna thinks it should be all about reentry.
We don't have solid reentry programs. I think that people do crimes and they do their time, and there's nothing wrong with that. That's a solid foundation. That's a good system. We just need to tweak that a bit to make sure that these people aren't branded as terrible people for the rest of their lives, that they're able to reassimilate into society. And many of them have the want and the need to be productive members of society. They yearn for that. They just don't have a solid way, a program, a system to do that. And what we see is a high recidivism rate, because after trying so long to do things the right way, many people will revert to criminal behavior. So we need to lower the recidivism rate, increase program funding to help people get in the right mindset before they are released. And then prior to any incarceration, let's take a look at the mandatory minimums policies. We really need to increase program funding, where many cuts have been made, to rehabilitate these people. And being on the other side of that, I found that even where the funding was scarce, the people who had their heart in it for the right reasons truly try to make a difference and help these inmates. But one thing where we've seen a lot of cuts, especially in Michigan recently, was reentry programs. There are people who were released around the same time as me who have never used a cell phone.
On November 8th, Rihanna will be working as an electronic poll book operator. And she'll be thinking about all those in prison who do not have the right to vote. And she'll be thinking about Daryl. One thing is certain, no matter who becomes president, Daryl and Rihanna will both be paying attention to the criminal justice reform. For Current State, I'm Brooke Allen.